morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get started. Carolyn Sparks will be leaving Tuesday for California to care for her mom, and she will come back May 3rd. She requests prayers for safe travel and being there with her family, and she says she'll miss everybody here. And also, the Lindo family is placing their membership with us today. Where are they? I'm not seeing them. Oh, right back there. There they are. Glad to have you, and glad to be worshiping and working with you here at South Valley. Well, I don't know if you'd read the announcements that had come out this week. We came in Wednesday to Bible class, and there was water all over the place. The baptistry had the pump had come out, or the hose had come out of the baptistry and distributed water all over the place. So I guess this was blessed with holy water. It's clean because it was sanitized. But I want to really thank Kurt for kind of spearheading the cleanup and stuff. And yesterday, I tell you, people showed up. They probably only had another 58 things they could have been doing. But Tracy was here, Daryl and Nana, all 95 years of her. She was working her heart out. Let's see, Carolyn and Elliot. I think Elliot set a world record for how many chairs he could carry to get this all set up again. Lagaya is a vacuuming machine, I'll tell you that. We had Stacy and her janky hip doing stuff. Who am I missing? I think. And well, of course, Kurt was here, but we got it all set up, and we were kind of worried that it might still be wet, but it was all dried, and we're ready for business. I tell you, Preston's Bible class, he started a study of Hebrews today. He's going to be trying to do a chapter a week. I don't know if you realize that's hard. Sometimes it is harder to condense than it is to expound. Expounding, you get all the ideas that you want to get in. Condensing, you kind of got to hit the meat, and that is tough. We're going to do that today, which is tough. We're going to look at the letter to the Corinthians. We're going to look at Corinth first. I've been kind of doing a study on my own of just some of the different locations that Paul wrote to. And some of the cities itself gives a little background and the setting and the mood for the letter itself. And so Corinth was not too far from Athens in southern Greece, and it was a very important port city, real close to the sea, and it got a lot of traffic and was kind of known throughout the region. It wasn't just a small, you know, spot in the road. It was very steeped in idolatry and what we call today mythology, was religion for those people. It was the mythological home of Pegasus, the winged horse. They put a lot of stock in that, and it was known far and wide for its immorality. You know, Las Vegas talks about being Sin City. By my study of Corinth, I don't think Las Vegas has a thing on Corinth. It was the sin city of its day. The church was established by Paul on his second missionary journey. And then this letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, was written during his third missionary trip. And a lot of it was addressing their straying doctrinally, the divisions doctrinally that they were having, the divisions just of their people. God never likes division. About the only time God likes division is when people are standing up for the truth. And if that's the case, so be it. You know, cut the cancer out. But there were personal divisions, and there was doctrinal divisions that Paul was addressing. And he was addressing their immoral behavior as Christians. Paul was loving. Paul patted people on the back, groups of people on the back. But if need be, Paul could get an old-fashioned whipping in. And the letter of 1 Corinthians was one of those old-fashioned, take him to the woodshed spankings. And he pulled no punches, but he did it with love. He dearly loved these people, but he was not beating around the bush with some of the issues he was dealing with. He could not put up with the false doctrine that they were engaged with and their behavior. Now, this is in no way, this is more of an overview than an in-depth study of the book of Corinthians, but that's your homework. Your homework is this week in your personal studies, sit down, it'll take you, you know, maybe a couple of settings, read the book of 1 Corinthians. And hopefully some of the things we look at today will kind of spark your study and be a springboard for other things. Chapters 1 through 3 deals with a lot of the division that Paul was addressing. He doesn't like the doctrinal differences that were being taught, and he hated the personal division that was being created in the church. And this was only a few years after he had established the congregations there. In verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He's not saying from a personality standpoint that you have to like all the same things, personally have the same forms of recreation and all that stuff. But when it comes to doctrine, you think the same way. There is no different teachings. And you be of the same mind and judgment. Verse 11 says, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." They were arguing and holding different. Well, Paul baptized me. Apollos baptized me. I learned and was baptized by Peter. That doesn't matter one bit. Doesn't matter one bit. And I was joking a while ago about holy water. We don't believe that stuff. But I tell you, if anybody needs to be baptized, I do know that water's fresh and clean. Just a little hint. It's never been fresher. In chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, Paul explains himself. He says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" He's saying, aren't you being worldly, holding different people in different esteem, you know, different, you know, partialities? And he says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." The minister's not the important one. It's the message. Mm-hmm. The message of Paul, Apollos, Peter, Barnabas, Silas, the message was the same. Whether you heard it from Paul or Apollos. In chapters 5 and 6, Paul gets into a lot of the immoral behavior. And he gives us good advice and a commandment. At the end of verse 6, he says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" It doesn't take much sin to be crept in someplace for it to spread like cancer. And that goes for a congregation, and that goes for an individual. It doesn't take much sin to start spreading. It says in chapter 6, starting in verse 9, and we've looked at this verse many times. It says, "Do you not know?" And I love how he asks questions. Paul asks questions that are so obvious. The answer, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Case closed. And he says, "Do not be deceived. Don't be fooled by what others may say." He goes on to say, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Don't be fooled by what others may say. These are sins. And if you're caught up in that, you won't get to heaven. Chapter 11, we see a big focus on the Lord's Supper. And this is a chapter that a lot of the men that we look at when we're doing in preparation for communion, a lot of the men will refer to verses here in chapter 11. In verses 24 and 25, Paul is recounting what he had learned himself from the Lord, that Jesus said, "Do it in remembrance of me." Not just a few weeks ago, we had a Bible class and a lesson on the Lord's Supper. And we're to do, when we're taking communion, we are remembering Jesus. We're doing it in his memory. Our mind should not be a million miles away. Paul's reminding us, do it in the memory of Jesus. And keep the focus on that. In verses 27 and 28, Paul writes, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." I don't think there's anybody that would be in favor of what had been done to Jesus at his crucifixion. And it says, if we eat and drink in an unworthy manner, not doing it properly, not doing it with the right attitude, not doing it with the right focus, we will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But it says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Chapter 13, we always call that the love chapter. It focuses on what true love is. It gives a good definition. A lot of times we throw that word love out there quite often. But it describes what true love, that agape love that Christ had, what it is. And he sets the stage in verses 1 through 3. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just noise. Might as well just make a bunch of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, tell you, that's power right there. If somebody, you know, through faith demonstrated that they can move Mount Charleston over a little bit, that says something. But if you do that and have not love with it, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Whatever we do, if we're doing a good deed and we don't have love behind it, if we're griping and complaining and moaning and grumbling about it, we're not doing it with love, even though it might be a good deed. If I give my body to be burned as a sacrifice, but I don't have love, it doesn't profit me anything. Backing up, the love chapter is kind of right in the middle of talking about spiritual gifts. A lot of the early Christians were desiring those spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues and the things demonstrating the power. A lot of people wanted those things. Simon the sorcerer in the early chapters of Acts wanted to buy those gifts. He's lucky Peter didn't smote him right there. In fact, Peter kind of threatened that he was going to. That's not the important thing. And in chapters 12 through 14, Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts. And right in the middle of them, 13, he says, you know what the best thing you do? Seek after love. That's the biggest thing. The biggest thing that you could do is seek after true love. But he says in chapter 14, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all to be able to preach the word. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. I would rather speak with my own knowledge to the church than speak in tongues. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but those who believe. A lot of people wanted these gifts, but they were doing it in the assembly, to people that didn't need it. The miraculous signs, as Jesus explained in Mark 16:20, these are for signs to confirm the word to those who are not Christians. It gives those preaching the credibility. Could you imagine? And there are places, you look around, you could find places that do this today. You go in and people are starting to come up with all sorts of babblings and standing up and what they call speaking in tongues. Nobody knows what they're talking about. They're just rattling off. Paul goes on to say in chapter 14, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And in chapter 14, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. There were people that were wanting these gifts, but Paul was saying, do it with understanding and do it properly. Luckily, we don't have those today. Chapter 15 and 16, he gives the message, remain faithful. Toward the end of this kind of spanking, you've been doing this, 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 and this. But you know what? Remain faithful. And in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Wouldn't that be sad to have believed in something all the way to the end, but it was in vain? Because of your behavior, by letting down your guard, letting sin in just a little bit, and it leavens the whole group. Chapter 15, verse 33, Paul says, do not be deceived. Don't let anybody fool you. Kids in here, listen up. Yeah, listen up. Evil company corrupts good habits. You cannot have bad friends and it not rub off on you. You cannot. So you keep that in mind at school and in your neighborhoods. You can't hang around evil kids and it not rub off on you. And parents, believe it or not, it goes the same for you. You can't walk in the gutter and not expect to get dirty. Can't do it. Verses 54, this was our scripture reading. So when this corruptible, our mortal body, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Basically to the devil, is that all you got? Is death the only thing you got to hang in front of us to scare us? Is that all you got? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he kind of comes back. He has spanked them and he's coming back and hugging them now. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 13, he says, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Those are good words for us today. And in chapter 16, you have his closing. He's closing things out. He says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul's. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. This week, take a few minutes and read 1 Corinthians. I think it will enrich our lives, give us a little bit better understanding, and so much of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians is directly applies to us today. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, repentance, whatever your need, please come forward while Josh leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.